You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Doc.
Hello, I'm here.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Lovely, I also can hear you now. I hope you've been good.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Oh, yes, hallelujah, indeed. We're talking about causes and remedies for food allergies this afternoon. And you know, our food allergies involve in the immune system reacting to specific food proteins, causing various symptoms. Now, where the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have reported a 50% increase in the number of children with food allergies since the late 90s. Now, Doc, we want to talk about this. What's the difference between food allergy and food intolerance?
Okay. First, I want to just mention that food is not the only source of allergy. But let's leave it at that. Maybe okay. We'll talk about that another time.
Okay. All right.
Let's look at food allergies today. Now, just as you rightly said, it's increasing according to statistics. And food intolerance is just, I take this food and I'm uncomfortable. For one thing, I don't like it. And then when I take it, I just feel uncomfortable also. But food allergy is a serious matter. As you also said, it has to do with the autoimmune reactions. So we have immune system. And this allergy is an allergen. There's something, the protein in some of the food. They just identify, I mean, the body, the immune system identifies this, let's call it, a type of protein and begin to treat this as serious. The food is harmless. The substance is harmless, but it's a threat for the body because the immune system mistakenly identify a normal harmless substance as a threat. And it triggers the body to start destroying itself. A very common one is celiac disease. It's an autoimmune response. And this is even more than allergy. But most of the time, like dairy allergy, the immune system reacts to the protein, like casein or whey, and the body begins to destroy itself. And one can become very sick, very, very sick. And it's a serious matter. When the immune system attacks the body. So we have several symptoms. Digestive symptoms, like bloating, chronic diarrhea or constipation, gas, abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting. And for some people, they can even have serious anaphylactic reactions, and it may lead to death. So this is a serious matter.
Oh, may even lead to death. Wow.
Oh, yes. It is a serious matter. So when a person is allergic to any substance, especially food, it got to go on an elimination diet. You must remove the food and stop eating it. So, can one get over it and be able to eat the food later on? Yes and no. Some people might say, well, I'm cured, I can take the food now. I know some natural healthcare centers that actually work with allergies and help people get over it. But most of the time, people will have to do without the food and then heal the body of the consequences of the autoimmune problems. One, elimination, very important. Most people react to gluten and some to dairy, milk especially. And there are some things that one can do to heal the gut, that is the stomach and the intestines. So there are herbs and some food that have a substance that is called L-glutamine.
Okay.
And then zinc. This will help to heal the lining of the intestine. And then anti-inflammatory herbs like turmeric, ginger, they have proved successful, especially in gluten sensitivity.
Oh, okay.
And then in dairy, again, it is necessary to avoid the substance. But what can we do? There are dairy alternatives. Nut, oat, or rice-based milk. And then some people, they take supplements, like the lactase, because that is the enzyme that is missing and not allowing some people to digest dairy. And I would say those who are allergic to dairy, like milk, I think it's a blessing.
Oh,
this is my personal opinion.
Okay, all right.
Because there are other problems with dairy products. So if the body already rejects it, then it's a good thing. Then one will go for the alternatives. So, probiotics, aloe vera juice, another herb called slippery elm. And then there is this quercetin, a natural antihistamine. It's found in apples, onions, and a seed or fruit called capers. They are recommended to take vitamin C to support the immune system and reduce histamine. Then another herb that is an antihistamine is the stinging nettle. I don't know why one would like to take something that is stinging. Whoa. But it doesn't sting the throat. It is when you are walking in the midst of the plant.
Yeah, yeah.
That it gets into your skin. Okay. Yeah, that's why it's called stinging nettle.
Oh.
But it's a wonderful herb that helps with the immune stabilization when one is allergic to dairy. These are things that one can do naturally to help allergy, build a strong immune system, an immune system that is able to maintain its integrity, allowing the body to be stable and not destroying itself. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Doc. I can hear you very well.
Okay, because my own system here is echoing back to me.
Oh, okay. No, but everything is fine this side. We can't even hear the echo.
Good. If everything is fine on your side, I'm glad. Yeah. So this celiac disease is a serious one. And many people with allergy, they have this problem. Their intestine has become compromised. And they are not able to eat very well, properly. because it's like it gets into every other part of their digestive work. And they have to live on anti-inflammatory foods like leafy greens, turmeric I mentioned earlier on, berries, and then they have to be very, very careful to avoid cross-contamination. I was in an institution for a program one time, and this young lady was allergic to onions, of all things. And, well, they knew that she's allergic to onions, but a knife that was used to cut onions was used to cut her vegetable. They didn't give her the onions. But that they used that same knife was just bad enough. This girl was sick. So when one has this problem, he has to be very, very, very careful, because the effect is bad. You have to understand all the things to eliminate and then work with people. It's difficult to eat out because they don't know what is responsible for what. But in doing this study, I decided that I want to look at what it looks like before our time runs out to encourage and help someone in the low economic community. Because most of the times when we have allergy issues, people will just, well, they go to the store, they buy gluten-free, lactase-free, and they're quite expensive. But I found out when I looked this up that actually it's easier when you don't even have a lot of money to eat foods that are not high in the things that one could be allergic to. For instance, I began to see that most of the foods we eat in Africa locally generally don't have gluten. The yam, yes, rice, cassava, I mean, most of the things that local people eat, they are dairy-free because they can't afford all the chicken and the eggs and so forth. So they get their protein from beans, from peas. They eat carbohydrates from yam, from corn, called maize in some other areas. And they don't have to deal with all of the expensive gluten-free, lactase-free, and all the rest. They don't have to deal with the canned foods, which is where we get most of our problems. So you look at people from East Africa, West Africa, you see the ugali, the eba, amala, the githeri, taro, yam, breadfruits, rice, beans. They don't have gluten. So it's very encouraging. And that, to me, is an added thing to say, well, we usually don't have these problems among very local people. And I believe that is the reason why. Because generally, our foods locally don't have that problems. It's the gluten from wheat that is the major cause of most of the problems that we face in allergy. And then there are some people, as you mentioned earlier on, that what is the difference between food intolerance and food allergy? Some people more, I would even say more and more people can tolerate wheat. And when I did a little research on it, I found that it is the way they plant wheat now. I put science in quotes. They have altered a number of things and are adding quite a number of things, not only to the soil, but they are improving the seeds to yield more And the human body made by God, they are used to what God made originally. And so more and more people are reacting to wheat generally, not even the gluten. And one thing I have noticed is that there are some health practitioners, I put it in quote again, who are promoting the use of wheat for diabetic persons. Wheat is not even good in the first place for a person with diabetes. But more and more people now are grinding wheat and they are stirring it to make fufu-like food and recommending it for diabetic patients. And so it's making things worse for these individuals because it digests so fast, which is not an easy thing for the digestive system of a person with diabetes. One with diabetes needs foods that would digest with taking its time as at regular speed, not food that digests very quickly, runs into the bloodstream as sugar very quickly. So it's not a good idea for one to be eating all this wheat. What happened to our flour, our maize, cassava, plantain, yam? All these are foods that are natural in our environment, and our bodies, they appreciate it better than all these imported foods and highly processed foods that the body is actually reacting to. So talking about gluten, I will still say go simple, gluten allergy, go simple, go local, and you will not run into problems.
Well, it's a beautiful place to end it at. Go simple and make sure that you go local as well to avoid. And you mentioned very many times gluten, which I think is quite a serious one. Doc, thank you so much for your time. We will then speak again next week this time. I want to thank you so much for your presence. Have a good evening and happy Sabbath ahead.
I wish you a happy Sabbath too, dear brother. God bless you.
Lovely. Blessings to you. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.